Holy name, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, when we sing that chorus, we're singing about coming out of idolatry, deception, bondage, all the horrible things that we were once in. And I'll tell you one thing we all have in common. We were all there. We were all lost. And thank God for the blood of Jesus, we are now redeemed. We're going to call this message this morning, Redeemed Without Money. Amen. I would like to pray first of all. Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I come to thee in prayer, humbly beseeching thee that thou wouldst help us. For Lord, thy word is true, and we firmly stand upon the sure foundation of it. And I know, Lord, that without thee I can do nothing. Without thee, O Lord, we cannot hear. But Lord, I pray that thou wouldst in thy mercy and grace hear us from heaven, that thou wouldst bring forth thy word that we might hear it, receive it, and believe it, that we might stand upon it, O Lord, that it would quicken us and change our lives so that as we leave today, if we leave, that, O Lord, that thou wouldst help us to be different, better for having been close to thee and drawn unto thy throne. Help us now, Lord, let thy word sink down deeply into our hearts. Let thy name be exalted and praised, for we know these are the last days, but thou art with us until the end. So, Lord, raise us up now in thy power and might, and let thy perfect and holy will be done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. When I mentioned Wednesday night, about doing this video, I just want to say this very quickly. I didn't make it clear, I don't think I made it clear, that Aaron's just going to be with us for this week, but he's going to leave this high-powered equipment behind, and we're going to be doing more and more videos and all kinds of things with this so that we can get the word out. It's going to be a major thrust. Videos, we want to do DVDs as well. We'll be getting some more equipment for that. And I believe it'll be a great blessing to people. In fact, we want to record some of the services. We may get to the point where we record them all. And we'd also like to get to be able to send these messages through the computer so people can listen to them. And who knows, someday, maybe even see them. We are starting churches in different areas of the country. I can't be everywhere, and until the Lord raises up pastors, we'll do this. We just have to get more and more active because the time is slipping away. And so with that thought in mind, let's go into the Word of God right now. Isaiah chapter 52. And thank God for the blood. Amen. Isaiah chapter 52, the title of the message is Redeemed Without Money. Boy, the Catholic Church would go out of business, wouldn't it? Huh? Awake! Awake! I'm reading scripture now. I'm not just telling you that. Awake! Awake! Put on thy strength, O Zion. Well, praise the Lord. Let's just pause for a second here. Duke and Cindy are coming in. Duke's coming in on crutches. Here's a man that's experienced a miracle. Praise God. Come right in. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. This gentleman coming in right now on these crutches is a walking miracle. Can you imagine what it's like to get hit by a cement truck? Huh? Would that be something? He was hit by a cement truck. He was in his truck, and there was such a collision, it blew all the windows out of the cement truck. And what did you have broken? 8 ribs?
Both legs?
Pelvis? Break in the back? I mean, he was pretty well, you know, there wasn't any possibility he could have lived through that except the Lord helped him. That's what it comes down to. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise God. Here he is walking, you know, to get hit by, you know, a cement truck of all things. But praise God, the Lord is greater than cement truck collisions and all those things. And I went to see him in the hospital several times, and we had prayer there, and I'm so glad that the Lord has raised him up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I just wanted to pause a moment and just thank God for that miracle. So now, Isaiah chapter 52, we're going to start once again with the first verse, and I didn't get very far, so we're just backing up a little bit. And so the Lord, through his prophet, said, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city." By the way, where is that holy city? The Jerusalem which is above is free and is the mother of us all. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. "For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." It has to be the heavenly Jerusalem, doesn't it? And now he says, "Shake thyself from the dust." You see, this world is filled with the dust of sin and evil. And everything is contrary to the kingdom of God in this world. Had you noticed? Had you noticed what a hostile environment it is to live in as a Christian? When everything out there is aberrated, distorted, this whole world is running on lies, deceits, and temptations. As a matter of fact, really, everything you see, every major project out there, including the war in Iraq, all these things, is a scam. It's deceptive. Sadly, people are dying because of it. But all these things that are going on, whether it be in the educational system, in the realm of economics, in any endeavor that they have set up, it's all running on deception. And I don't think it takes too much discernment to figure that out. And so we are told to awake. Thank God he woke us up. Do you know how many people are out there walking around without a clue? They don't know what's going on. They don't understand why is this and why is that. They don't understand how evil man can be, how conspiratorial he can be, and how they can get together. By the way, conspiracy is the way of sinful man. You knew that, didn't you? It shouldn't surprise any of us. There are thousands of little conspiracies out there all the time. But we know that Satan is a liar, a deceiver, that he has a plan, that he's working with people, and that he is trying to seize upon this entire world and bring it into the realm of his governance and to take all of your freedom away and make you vassal serfs, slaves, under a new system. Sadly, to a great extent, that has already happened to people. But the Lord calls his people out. He says twice, "Awake." Then he says, "Waking up isn't enough. Shake thyself." Shake thyself. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Stir up that gift of the Holy Ghost that's within you. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." Again, I say, we all had one thing in common. We were captive. Captive to the deceptions of the world, to our own sin. And then he says, "For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught." We had all sold ourselves. But for what? For nothing. That sounds like a bad deal, doesn't it? Now, when you sold yourself, then there was new ownership. Somebody else owned you and controlled you. You know, these people that say, "I don't want to follow the Lord. I don't want to live for God because then I have to follow all kinds of restrictions and regulations. There's so many things I can't do. I don't want to be a slave." And they don't realize that it's sin that causes slavery. When you are set free from the servitude of sin, you are at liberty to do what is right and good. Things that will cause you to prosper. The Lord will increase you in every way as you're faithful to him. But he'll even increase your intelligence. your ability to do anything. As long as you walk in His ways and follow hard after Him and do His will. Do you believe God has blessings for us? I don't believe He wants to keep us put down and put down. He'll keep you where you need to be, where you are at your optimum to learn of Him. But we're all going through a process here. The Lord is working on us. Things happen every day. Sometimes you wonder, why did that happen? Would you give all the glory to God? Would you include Him in every event? And if something isn't right, He'll turn it around. Would you let Him manage your life, micromanage it? Would you let Him watch over you? You know, that little baby back there is so beautiful. She looks at me and smiles, and she's so attentive. You know, she's drinking in the Word of God, too. Amen. She looked at me just a moment ago and gave me that smile I needed. Amen. Praise God. So, praise the Lord. So we see from the Word here that the Lord brings us to our attention. Ye have sold yourselves for nothing. You know, in the old days, they used to have people would be in Europe, Ireland, different places. A lot of Irish people did this. They sold themselves as servants for passage over to this country. And then they had to work for a certain number of years, and then they were free. But at least they got something for it. When you sell yourself for nothing into the realm of sin, that's Satan's ultimate deception. But the remedy for that is clearly given here. The Lord said, "And ye shall be redeemed without money." Now, when you redeem something, you pay a price. You buy it back. And here it says money has nothing to do with the redemption that we have received. The Apostle Peter put it this way, that we were redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Why is silver and gold corruptible? Because people corrupt it. And by the way, if silver and gold is corruptible, how about the Federal Reserve notes? They're corrupt to start with, aren't they? But anyway, the things that people esteem to be of great value, none of that enters in. We were bought back with a great price that you and I cannot calculate. How can you calculate the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross, who became our atonement for us to bring us back to God? You had no other way. Every one of us were absolutely lost until He found us. And He paid that price when we were yet His enemies. How's that make you feel? But the price has been paid. Ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, now watch this, because God asks a question here. God says, now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord. He's looking at His people, and He's saying, what have I here? They sold themselves for nothing. They esteemed their own value as nothing, and yet in their own prideful mind, they thought they were great and wonderful. See, in that realm of deception, there are all kinds of twists and turns. And people do strange things. But God looks at this whole thing and He sizes us up. He's doing an examination here. What have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? And by the way, how many people in our own country, I always try to draw parallels with the United States and what we find in the Word of God. What does God have here when people sell themselves and throw their allegiance into a system where Satan clearly has risen up and is taking control? Why are people so willing to effect their own demise? Well, because they don't know, because they can't see, because they don't want to know? Is apathy a problem? That people just don't care? They look the other way and make believe they don't see. Truth is a reality, folks. It's not relative. It's absolute. God has told us that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus didn't just say he knows the truth. He said he is the truth. He is the truth. And people, to a great extent, don't know what truth is anymore. And generally, when I hit on that subject, I define it because I think it should be defined. And some of you have heard this definition before, time and again. Some of you maybe haven't heard it. But I want to show you that truth is Jesus Christ, that the only truth there is Jesus Christ. So if you were to draw parameters around the word truth and define it, look at it this way. Truth, and I'm talking about the written word and the living word, truth is an accurate representation of that which is under consideration in relation to all other things, as it has always been in the past, is universally so in the present, and will hold without exception in the future. That's truth. Now, only Almighty God could be truth. Only our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could say, I am the truth. How much do we know about anything? I don't know what's going on next door, do you? We know almost nothing about anything compared to the all-knowing mind of God. And he dwells in all three dimensions of time simultaneously, past, present, future. That's why Jesus could say before Abraham was, I am. Remember? From everlasting, starting point, to everlasting, destination, thou art the Lord. He calls himself the I am. Remember how Moses went over to the burning bush? He turned aside to see this great sight of the burning bush, and God began to speak to him and told him to put your shoes off your feet, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And then God began to tell him some things. And when Moses said, when I go back to the people of Israel and they ask me, who sent you? What do I tell them? He said, you tell them the I am. It's God speaking out of the fire. The I am has sent you. Not the we are. All the others had plural gods, goddesses, all the other nations, empires. The I am, the one God. You tell them the I am sent you. And what could be more appropriate to call the Almighty than the I am? For whether you go into the distant past, he's the I am. Currently, he is the I am. In all of the future, in all of eternity, he is the I am. God is always present tense in any realm of time. That's why he's never late for anything. Well, sometimes people thought he was late. Remember Sarah? I'm in my 90s. How can I have a baby? How can that promise be true? God wasn't late. How about Elizabeth, who bore John the Baptist in her old age? Don't rule anything out, ladies. Huh? How could this be? Because he is the keeper of time. All things are subject to the power of his voice. That's why it's so wonderful. You know, you'd love as a person, as a friend, as a pastor to make things happen. But I have no power at all to make things happen. But I have the power and ordination to preach the gospel. And if I preach the word, God is the one who confirms it with signs following. That when you hear me preach, don't look at me as one who can help you. I can just preach. It's God who's going to help you. It's God who's going to heal you. It's the Lord who's going to cast devils out of your life. All I can do is declare it, bring it forth, show you what God said, and tell you what he said. But it's His power, His Spirit, right back where you're sitting right now, that's going to do the work. Amen. Remember one day Paul was preaching, and as he was preaching, he perceived that there was a man out in the audience that had faith to be healed. This man was crippled, couldn't walk, hadn't walked. And all of a sudden, Paul was preaching, and he stopped. The Spirit stopped him. And God was about to confirm His word. And He said, "Stand up on thy feet." And he did. God healed him. And then the Greeks, being deceived as they were, all these people out there, "Oh, the gods have come down." They always have to have more than one, don't they? Huh? "Oh, the gods have come down." And they renamed them. They called one Mercury and the other Jupiter. Well, Mercury and Jupiter, I got news for you, are just a big ball of rocks and dust and dirt and ice and whatever up there. And they are orbiting around a sun. That's all they are. There's only one God. But when a person has faith to be healed, the Word produces faith. Let the Word have its perfect work. You come in sometimes to a situation where you're very heavy-hearted. You call upon God. Things aren't working out. Your life's falling apart. Whatever the case may be. And your problems seem to loom so large. And they absorb. You can see nothing else because you're so close to your problem. Remember the hand in front of the face? Huh? Can't see anything but the hand. Get it away and see around it. And you get so close to your problems sometimes. And then you come in and you call upon the Lord. You spend prayer time. That's quality time, folks. Time at the throne of God is quality time. Amen. And you break through the resistance of the flesh, which keeps you to, it wants you to keep looking at your watch to find out when 5 minutes is up so you can quit praying. I'll tell you how long to pray. Shall I tell you? Until you don't want to stop. Then you got through. If you go in thinking, "Well, I'm going to give God a half an hour here, and if He doesn't do anything then, well, you know." You pray until you get your answer, folks. Praise the Lord. You never quit. If you have to go and be somewhere, drive somewhere, you can pray while you drive. Just bring everything into the realm of prayer. And it, whatever it is, will break. You can come in so heavy-hearted, and you really know you got through to God, and it lifts. You feel better. It isn't so heavy anymore. Maybe nothing has changed out there yet. But then you wake up the next day and you find out, hey, my problem's gone. Do you ever have God take something away and all of a sudden you realize, hey, this thing's gone. People who have struggled for years, 20 years, 30 years with a health problem or whatever, and all of a sudden you wake up and the thing is gone. You know, it's, huh? What happened? Your prayers were answered. Do you mean I prayed for 30 years? But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you did? It beats 30 years worth of complaining. Or whatever the case may be, we trust God in all things at all times. He is God. Look around. He made all of this. He designed it. Look at the flowers, the trees, the beautiful colors of the animals and the birds. That didn't evolve, folks. You'd have to be a moron to think so. Sadly, we've got a lot of people, morons, that they gave a square hat to and a hooded robe and said, "Go teach." No, you can be very intelligent as far as your intelligence quotient is concerned, mentally, as far as that gray matter is concerned. But, you know, you can be a spiritual moron. Really? How can anybody look at a flower or a bird with all those colors? Why did that little parrot that I have, why is his tail red? You know, the rest of them is gray and white and beautiful little bird, handsome little guy. Why is his tail red? Why did that evolve red? No, God designed it that way. It's not so hard to look around and see the miracles that He has done. The miracle of a little baby coming forth. Those cute little hands and fingers and wrists and that cute little mouth. Now she's smiling at me again. She knows I'm talking about her. But you You look at all that. That's a miracle of life. The ancient people being led by the devil said, oh, that's the sun god is the reproductive force. And that's why in front of the Vatican, they've got that big obelisk standing up there. And that's why in Washington, D.C., you've got that big obelisk standing up there. Because they believe that is the life force of the sun god that produces all life. Man's always going to get it wrong because people, human beings, man, listens to Satan. And as soon as we start listening to God, we're going to get it all right. Amen? Are they still teaching evolution in school? I think they are. It's been proven false, but they still teach it. Because other than to repent and admit there's a God in heaven, Almighty Yah, huh, that created all these things, it's the best they've got. As stupid as it is, it's the best they've got. Well, I am thankful today to know that there is a God in heaven who not only made all of this, but when it was lost to us and we were lost to Him, He redeemed us and bought us back, not with money, not with corruptible things, but with His own precious blood. And then He looks down on the situation, and I believe He's doing that right now. He's looking at you, He's looking at me, and He's saying, what have I here? What can I do with this? Now picture Him looking at you, looking at your heart, and God saying, what have I here, saith the Lord. And you know, He is able to bring to you complete and absolute salvation, deliverance, healing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They, watch this now. They that rule over them make them to howl. Did you look at the rulers and howl? Saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. You know, I saw a lot of rulers recently from all over the world because on June 5th, which happened to be my birthday, Ronald Wilson Reagan assumed room temperature. He died. Ronald Reagan, who had originally been a Democrat and a communist, did you know he was a card-carrying communist? He had a card signed by Uncle Joe Stalin. Now, they don't publicize that very much. So did Charlie Chaplin and all of these Hollywood Reds. He was the president of the Screen Actors Guild. Back there in the late 40s, just after World War II, communism was thriving in this country. And, of course, Joe McCarthy tried to expose it. Scott McCloud, Otepka, and these men, they tried to expose all this communism. Now, what do people say about McCarthy? Oh, McCarthyism. McCarthyism, right? This terrible, terrible guy. But the truth is, communism was everywhere out there. It was in our government, in our State Department. The United Nations promoted it. Actually, communism is a program of the UN. Communism. All these different things were going on back there. Ronald Reagan was very much a part of it, a big player in this. Very political all of his life. But he was an actor. And as time went on, he became governor of California and eventually became president of the United States. Now, at one time, our U.S. Congress, when it wasn't totally controlled, condemned Ronald Reagan as a communist. They don't tell you this stuff, do they? Why wasn't that in the eulogy? And they condemned him. Then later on, they set up this false, phony screening committee, clearance committee, and they cleared all these Reds. And the list is a mile long. I could give you a list of these communists. And what's wrong with communism? Communism is atheism. Communism means control by a force or a power. First of all, it doesn't work because in true communism, in theory, nobody owns anything. But there's always a proletariat and a bourgeoisie, right? But nobody owns anything. And remember John Lennon? Imagine no possessions. Huh? Nothing to kill or die for? Well, I've got something to die for, my faith. But no heaven, no hell, no possessions, imagine no countries, he said. By the way, that has been selected as the world anthem. Did you know that? Now they're just waiting for the mother and child reunion. Now they're waiting for that great day when Mother Earth will assume her position under the leadership of one Satan, who at one time had been Lucifer. But anyway, so they took Ronald Reagan, having been the 40th president. There's numbers all over this thing. Having been the 40th president, whose birth date was 1-9-11. And they took him to Washington, and they put him in a caisson. I actually saw that thing when I was in Washington. We had one of those special tours that hardly anybody gets. God worked that out. And they remember they showed us that caisson? That black little black carriage for a coffin? And they put him on there, and they had the lone drummer drumming. And behind him was the black horse, 13 years old, named Sergeant York, boots turned backwards. Took him to the Capitol, and of course, what does the word Capitol mean? Look it up in your Oxford dictionary or any good dictionary. It means Temple of Zeus. Capitol, by definition, original definition, means Temple of Zeus. So they took him in there, that box of dirt. Well, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But they said he was in there, and the truth is, he wasn't in there. He had gone to his eternal calling. The body was in there. But in masonry, see, later in the second term of President Reagan, he became a Freemason, and they advanced him all the way up very quickly. I have a picture of him holding his certificate and praising the Freemasons. And he said he was so happy now to be a part of that great fraternity. I've got a copy of his letter. And so he became a Freemason. So now what they did, of course, to do that you have to deny Jesus Christ. Because he had to go through the rituals into the Blue Lodge, and he had to stand at the door, and he had to tell the Tyler, when the Tyler asked who was approaching the lodge, he had to say, "I who sit in darkness, come to the lodge in search of light." So he had to deny his Christianity. Could you as a Christian, could you do that? Could you go into at some door there with a big worshipful master sitting up on a platform? Could you say, "I who sit in darkness"? If you're a Christian, are you sitting in darkness? Billy Graham did it. Over 25% of the Southern Baptist ministers have done it. "I who sit in darkness, come to the lodge in search of light." They then proceed east, 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 past all their positions, come up to the worshipful master. They got their little apron on and so forth. They give them their apron, rather, and they put that on. And so they go through this whole satanic ritual. And by the way, the initiation for witchcraft, Wicca witchcraft, and Freemasonry is identical. They even have the little knife, and they poke the chest to draw a little blood, because it's a blood oath, blood ritual. So these men have all done that. And so they took Ronald Reagan's remains in that box, that coffin, and took him over to the Capitol, the Temple of Zeus, and set him right in the middle under the rotunda. And from an upper view, you could see the floor had a circle, a complete circle, and in the middle of that circle was a black slab, a monolith, a rectangle, the black block of Freemasonry. Of 2001, the Space Odyssey, the monolith. You find a black block in the temple room at the United Nations, meditation room rather. And there they had that, when they took that coffin up, of course the military people came in with great pomp and circumstance and took the coffin up. You could look from a top view, you could see that circle. That is a witchcraft symbol, folks, and I can prove it. You can go into occult books, and it's laid out precisely just like that. He had to lie in state 36 hours. Why exactly 36 hours? because it's a square of 6. 6 times 6 is 36. Take the numbers 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 all the way through 36 inclusive. Add them up, it comes to 666. Nancy Reagan was there with two large earrings, a big 6 in each ear. Then they went to the National Cathedral. They put him in the hearse, they drove over there. The National Cathedral, Episcopalian. I was there. The Lord's had me all, I don't know how I've been to so many places. I got to make a list sometime. I don't know if I can remember them all, but I was there at the National Cathedral. Shirley was there. My friend John was there. You walk up to it, and here's this massive structure, 767 feet high, or pardon me, 676, 676. So you've got God's number, 7 in the middle, and man on each side of him, meaning that he is controlled, God controlled by man. So that spire up there, top spire, is 676 feet high, and the bell is down 10 feet below that, so it puts the bell at exactly 666 feet. It's the highest object in Washington, D.C. Second, or the only thing second to it is the Washington Monument at 555 feet high. You look around at the National Cathedral and you see gargoyles everywhere. A gargoyle is a devil or a demon. We knew that, didn't we? Did you ever see a gargoyle with their grotesque faces? Look like little dragons, pointed ears, teeth, snarling like they're ready to bite, little bat wings on them. Would you come to this church if we put gargoyles all around the outside? I would hope not. I wouldn't come either. A church with gargoyles. That's the first church of the gargoyle. The National Cathedral. All over the place, gargoyles. You go down in the basement, they got a gargoyle shop where you can buy your own personal gargoyle and take it home. That way, you know, and that's just like buying Cracker Jacks. You get a little surprise in every pack. Remember? Cracker Jacks, give you that little trinket in there. Well, when you go and buy a gargoyle and take that home, you got your own personal little devil came along with it and comes in, ah, here I am, now I'm going to go to work. And they're right there in your home and they go to work. They go to work on your family. These evil spirits. When you get something belongs to the devil, designed by the devil, is exclusively produced by the devil, and you bring that into your house, then you have an evil spirit claiming the right to be there because that object is his. Think about it. So, gargoyles all around, and when we were there, they had a big paper, you know, a sheet that they'd put out. They were giving it away. They were so proud. They just had just acquired their latest brand new gargoyle. And they're proud of it. You know what it was? And put it right in the front of the church above the entrance, way yonder up high. I took my binoculars out and looked at it. Sure enough, there it was. They'd given us this little paper. It was Darth Vader, the dark side of the Force. And so here you've got the Church of the Gargoyles, the National Cathedral, and all of these outstanding so-called Christian people were there. Why, Bill and Hillary Clinton were there. And Gorbachev was there. You know, Gorbachev was the head of Russia at one time. He was a communist of communists and still is. It was Ronald Reagan. They say, oh, Reagan brought down communism. He didn't bring it down. He transplanted it. He brought it over here. Henceforth, America spelled with a K. He brought it over here. He brought Gorbachev over and gave him an office complex in the Presidio. I was there. We prayed that the Lord would get him out of here. He did for a while. 2 days after we prayed, and I didn't ask for anything specific except, Lord, just get this. He was running the State of the World Forum, which is a one-world organization designed to put the one-world government into place. Why did Ronald Reagan bring Gorbachev over here, give him an office at the Presidio, office complex, where he can operate, and you never hear about him, do you? Those are the busiest ones, the ones you don't hear about. Have you figured that out yet? George W. Bush is not some big mastermind illuminist. The guy on stage isn't running the show. It's the guy sitting behind the curtain with a cigar, right? He's running the show. The guys that are out front that you hear about all the time, all of those are stooges of the ones that are in control. You do have to remember that. So he brought Reagan brought Gorbachev over here, and they became fast friends. Remember, only a short time before, he said that Gorbachev is the ruler of an evil empire. Well, when was he born again? When did he turn over a new leaf? They put him over there in the Presidio. You can go and see his office if you want to. It's at San Francisco, not far from the Golden Gate Bridge. And you know, he is working in conjunction with the UN, with the World Council of Churches, and all these different groups to bring together and to unify. That's why you have a European Union with 25 members, the United States of Europe. Watch all these things start to take place now. Now it's really going to move. And of course, here was Reagan in that National Cathedral, his body, I should say, and all these people out there singing. And it was really quite something to see all of these Illuminists sitting there singing Amazing Grace. And I wonder how many people out there are going to say, see, they are Christians. See, yeah, they are. Look at it, they're singing Amazing Grace. Remember when a witch was following Paul around one time? And what was that witch saying? She had a spirit of divination. In Latin, that would be a spirit of Vaticanus, spirit of the Vatican. Vatican means divination. And she was following Paul and Silas, and she was saying, these men are of the Most High God and do show unto us the way of salvation. And it was a devil speaking. But it was not for him to speak. It's like putting perfume on a pig, right? Huh? It was not for him to speak about salvation. That woman was drawing attention to herself as a great soothsayer. Maybe she was the seeress of Roebuck. I don't know. But a great seeress, you know. I can tell this, I can tell that, drawing attention to herself. And Paul, being grieved, turned to her and said to the Spirit to come out of her, cast that spirit out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think that if an evil spirit in this woman could make a proclamation like that, these men are of the Most High God, do show unto us the way of salvation, I think that members of the Illuminati can sing Amazing Grace. Doesn't fool me. Right afterward, they'll go back to their abortion, their pornography, their drunkenness, their drugs, their collusion with all kinds of conspiratorial enemies. It's all forgotten, isn't it? They take the box of dirt with a flag over it, send it back to California. I talked to my friend Irwin yesterday, who's an air traffic controller. He said they just hate it when stuff like that happens. It just messes up everything. You have to have 20 miles of separation from these planes, and it's just quite a job. So anyway, they take him back out there. He must arrive by sunset, because they had a special sunset service and they were going to face him west instead of east. Remember Rudyard Kipling, big Mason? He was entered, passed, and raised in three different... He was entered by a Hindu, passed by a Muslim, and raised by a so-called Christian, meaning became the third degree in Lahore, India. He wrote a lot of books and things. You might have read some of his works. But he's the one who said, east is east and west is west and never the twain shall meet. In witchcraft, as you go through the various meridians of time and so forth, the parallels and meridians causing the grid work in the earth, as you move from east and from west, east meets west in this country, in Colorado. That's considered the very center of our country, which is why there's so much witchcraft, Garden of the Gods, Colorado Springs, NORAD, all this stuff is going on out there. East meeting west. Ronald Reagan was the first president to ever face west when he took the oath of office for the first time. He faced the Washington Monument. It had never been done before. See, I stood in that very spot where he took that oath of office. Restricted area. Nobody can go in there, but we did. Because the head of the Capitol Police took us in there. I never asked. She took us from one place to the next, and everything was something I needed to know. That was a hand of God. She took us in the tunnels. She took us in restricted areas. At one point, she was going to take us in this room, and there was a guard standing there, armed guard, and stood in front of her. And she said, he said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "It's okay." Motioned him to get out of the way. Why did all that happen? Why did we see and hear those things? Incidentally, when they, meaning all of the cabinet members, the president, vice president, when they're all meeting together, there are several times a year when they do that, they always select one cabinet member and put him in a blast-hardened room. And if there's an attack, an explosion or something, and our leaders die, that person becomes absolute dictator of the country. No questions asked. That's law. Did you know that? We were told that there is no Congress, no Senate, no House of Representatives, nobody else. That person becomes dictator. Is dictatorship possible in this country? Is an attack possible? We don't know what the future holds, but we know that all of the framework for all of this is in place. Everything just has to move into position, and all of a sudden, overnight, you could lose your country entirely, what's left of it. And so they took him out there, and they buried him facing west. So east and west face off for the first time ever. That's a sign to all the Freemasons that we now have complete control of the country and of the world. So this was no little thing, and that's why they made a big deal out of it. That's why for all those days, that's all you heard about. What happened about with the other news? Did all news stop? What happened while they were showing you Reagan, 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 Reagan? Kind of funny, because in German, Reagan means rain. We've had plenty of that, haven't we? Reagan, 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 Reagan. What happened in Iraq during that time? What happened anywhere else in the country? They told us nothing. It was all Reagan, 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 Reagan. I don't think the other news stopped. And of course, now they have said the primary goal now, this Rumsfeld said this, the primary goal now, we must protect the new government of 33 in Iraq. Why 33? What's the Scottish Rite number in Freemasonry? 33. Why do we see a continual flowing and repetition of numbers such as 11, 13, 33, 18? Because they are all illuministic numbers. And so you look at all this, none of this is coincidence. And all of this tells me, hey, I see what's going on. I've awakened, I've shaken the dust off. I can see because the Lord allowed me to see. And watch now for a major incident. Very soon, it's going to happen. It's going to change our country again, forever. I don't know how much time we have, but I do know that there's not much left because I can see how far things have gone. Am I a gloom and doom preacher? Well, I look beyond the gloom and doom to the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything has been taken over in our country. People are so given to entertainment they can't even think anymore. And now Britney Spears bit the dust, threw her knee out. She's going to have, or may have already had, arthroscopic surgery. They'll put that on her. They'll tell you about Kobe Bryant or something. It doesn't make any difference. But what is happening while they have you distracted? You know, these stage magicians get up, do the sleight of hand, and They got one kind they do, they call it black art. They use black velvet and black lights and so forth. They make all the stuff disappear, reappear. Or they will use what they call misdirection, causing you to look at something in order to not see something else, because we are generally trained to focus in on one thing and ignore other things. Some people's minds have overcome that, but this is exactly what the leadership is doing. No wonder the Lord's looking down at all this and says, what have I here? What's going on? And what's going on with my people? Where they should be coming fully awake, shaking off the dust, and rising up. You know, people say, what can I do? If you can do nothing else, you can at least talk about it. You can tell this glorious gospel to others. You can expose the works of darkness. That's one of the functions of the Holy Ghost in you. And people say, I can't change anything. What can I do? I'm just a, you know, one little guy here. You can speak out. Everybody can speak out as the Lord prompts you. Now, I'm not talking about going into your workplace and stand in a chair and start preaching, because when you go to work, you've sold them your time. Your 8 hours, 9 hours, whatever, you sold them. And that's their time. If an opportunity comes, if they ask, it's a different story. Don't hide it. But you don't go in there. And some people I've talked to, they said, I just can't keep a job. I can't keep a job. Every place I go, what do you do? First thing I do, I bring my Bible and start telling about the Lord. Hey, remember, you took a job. Look for opportunities. But you know, you're going to get fired every time if you do that. And those same people could easily go out, if they want to really be outspoken, go out in the street. Let it happen there. God will work it all out. Amen. But we can all at least speak out. Amen. And so the Lord went on. I mean, after all, he purchased us without money. He redeemed us with his own blood. And we're greatly indebted to him, aren't we? And so the Lord said in verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Isn't it amazing how God speaks? You know how he's speaking now? Look at the world and all of the trouble in it, and the what they call natural disasters, Mother Nature. It's not Mother Nature, it's the creation. You hear people call it Ma Nature? No. That's what they learn at the university. That's what they learn at their alma mater. Their bountiful mother taught them all these little ways to speak and things. No. It's the creation of God. And God speaks through his creation. He speaks through earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes. All kinds of ways that he speaks. Because God said, if they're not going to hear the gospel, they're still going to hear from me. They're going to know it is I, the Lord. They're going to know. One way or another, they're going to know. Now, aren't you thankful you can hear from him here like this instead of through a disaster? And even in the disasters, there you find his voice calling to repent, repent. Repent. He extends his mercy and his grace in all the disasters. And people look at, oh, it's Mother Nature. It's Mother Nature. No, it isn't Mother Nature. It's the Lord speaking from heaven, calling you to repentance. Yeah. You know, there was a big topic of conversation in the days when Jesus walked those dusty roads of Judea. One of the big topics of conversation was the Tower of Siloam that fell down, killed 42 men. 42. You find that number 42 elsewhere, don't you? 42 months of tribulation. There were 42 children that were torn by the she-bears that mocked Elisha for having a bald head. Can't have hair and brains both. Isn't that right, Duke? Praise the Lord. That's all right. But you know, that number 42 you'll find throughout the scripture in different ways. It's amazing how it all falls into place. Do you believe God has this word tied together with precision. Praise God. Praise God. I get amazed as I read this book. I'm amazed at what I find in here. And so we're looking at a situation in the world today where time is so incredibly short. And the Lord is speaking. He's crying out through all of His marvelous acts. Mercy and grace is extended forth to call people out. People continue to say, yep, Mother Nature. Last year, last spring, we had precisely, during tornado season, 666 tornadoes, according to the National Weather Service. Now, the rest of the world, it goes right over the head. What does that tell you? A sign from God. Why not 667 or 665? But precisely the number of the beast. God speaking. How about these comets that we're seeing, and I called attention in the newsletter, that the death of a world leader is imminent. You might say, but that's what witches teach. That's what the occult and so forth. Did you know that God takes them in their own devices? Did you know that? Did you ever read in the Psalms how they hang on their own gallows? They're taken by their own devices. It comes down on their own pate, meaning forehead. These are signs from the Lord. And I'll tell you what, His voice of mercy and grace that continues through these things will eventually stop. But everybody is going to know Him. He says, in no uncertain terms, therefore they shall know in that day that I am He that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Not Mother Nature. It's I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, and publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. That's wonderful news, isn't it? And so then you always run into the people and say, well, then why do you bring up the negative stuff? Why don't you just say that, just that all the time and not say anything else? Well, look at what it's saying here. Yeah, we will publish peace, but you know, the UN publishes peace, don't they? Is there a difference? We are declaring the Prince of Peace and they are declaring a system of Antichrist governance. So we preach peace, but only through the Prince of Peace. We preach good tidings, truly good tidings, that our sins are washed away. We publish salvation. Did you ever consider yourself to be a publisher of salvation? And when we put this material on the internet and send it out by means of the newsletter or go on the radio, whatever we do, we are publishing salvation. You know, it's really something how you have to spend a certain amount of energy and time to show people, first of all, that they're sinners. That there is a problem. I need to be saved from what? And you've got to show them. You're lost and you're in a lost system. And you're being controlled, and you're being manipulated, you're being deceived. There are those in the upper echelons that are laughing at you en masse. And so you have to show people, yes, I am lost, I'm lost, I'm lost. And once they see that, there's only one way to get out of it. It's not a program of man, it's faith in the operation of God. The Lord said, Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. When would that happen? Let me put it this way. When did it happen? Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted His people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Remember, not silver and gold. That's what Rome would have wanted. Rome probably would have sold the province for enough money, or at least the governance of it. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, who's he speaking to? Is there something we're supposed to get out of? Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her plagues. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. God calls for cleanliness through the washing of the water by the word, through the power of the blood, through obedience to him. He calls for a type of cleanliness that can only be obtained at his hand. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. You know, some people wonder about this. How bad is it going to get, and what do I do? How do I get out of this, and where do I run to? Do I find a banana republic somewhere and build a lean-to and get away from it all? Oh, they got satellites to find you in a minute. They can find your can of Coke from space. You knew about that. RFIDs, radio frequency ID. They're even running commercials on it. In a motel room I was staying at, I saw it on a television. I don't watch television unless I happen to be somewhere or something I want to turn on and try to find. But I saw this commercial for Coca-Cola. They're giving away, I think it's some kind of a car or vehicle or something. And if you buy the lucky can, it says, you won't find us, we'll find you. That's how the commercial ends. From space. You go buy it at the store, and they find your can of Coke. Might be right in your hand. You could be anywhere. They know where you are because you got that can of Coke there. Now, watch out. Walmart is starting to label their stuff. They're going to use RFIDs on just about everything, eventually everything. You buy anything there, you put it in your car. Other retailers will probably do it too, but they're the big one. They're the big illuministic spearheading this thing, big illuministic company. And Procter & Gamble, Gillette, all these different companies, you name it, RFIDs, they can actually find you by the products you buy. They can know, they said 300 miles away, they can know what kind of aftershave you've got and how much of it in your house. Now that's just getting a little bit too invasive, isn't it? I mean, the technology is incredible. Aaron here could tell you amazing stories, but the technology is incredible, the things that are going on. But that commercial said, made a point of it, you won't find us, we'll find you. It's like this cloud coming down, you know? Huh? That's the day we live in, folks. A lot of people don't know it. Some people are still back in the barcode stage. Yeah, they're still using barcodes. And some of them are embedded barcodes, too. But they're using them. We see the 666 in that, too. But there's a quantum leap here. Quantum leap forward in that conspiratorial occupation of your very soul. Thankfully, the Lord called us out and he told us, he said, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out in the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. God has a way of protecting you. It's getting so bad, if you're going to drink a can of pop, you have to wrap it in lead. I bought a lot of things where I looked under the label and there was that little printed circuit. It's coming. You know, who in their right mind that knows anything about the Bible, knows what you and I know? Can any thinking person doubt that these are not the times the Lord spoke of, that the mark of the beast is out there and fully functional and operating and just waiting for the proper time for absolute seizure? It's there! And then, because it's there, it is incumbent upon us who know it's there to pray, to seek the Lord, to cry out to Him, and watch His mighty hand deliver you from it. And so the Lord says, for you shall not go out in haste. God's in no hurry. Remember? He's never late and He's never in a hurry. And some of you may think once in a while, I wish He were in more of a hurry. No, you want His timing, not yours. He will do what He's going to do on His time. He'll never let you down. Never. Don't ever think that way. We let ourselves down. We talk ourselves into things. We get frustrated, upset, angry. Yield yourself to God. He will bring it to pass in His good time. Trust Him. His time is right. Don't only trust that He can do it, will do it, whatever. Trust Him that His timing is precise. Can you trust in God's timing? For ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear reward, meaning your rear guard. That's why you can say, get thee behind me, Satan. Huh? The Lord is my rear guard. Besides, if you tell Satan to get behind you, you could never follow him. Praise the Lord. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now that's our Lord Jesus. How do I know? As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, meaning many kinds of people. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. Notice, there were a lot of things not told. Does that mean some things were hidden? Does that mean there could have been some conspiracies in operation that are all, you know, every one of those will be made known on Judgment Day? For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Hidden things, secret things, all of this made open by the salvation of our Lord. Folks, He's called us out. He's given us wonderful knowledge. The things that were hidden for thousands of years are clearly seen to those who discern and will pray for discernment. But all of us need to realize His voice will be heard and that we have been redeemed without money. But we have been purchased, bought back, selected. You go in a store, you go down the aisle and you pick something out and you take it and pay for it, right? Because you purchased it. You chose that particular item, whatever it was. Praise the Lord. The Lord has chosen His people. He has called them out. And thank God He has lifted them up. Well, we're going to have a prayer here, and Duane is going to be prepared to get baptized. So I'll pray first, then you can go, and we'll sing a chorus or two. We're so excited about this. Amen. He drove a lot of miles. Was it 7.5 hours? Something like that? We've driven it. Is it more than that?
It's a long ways.
It's a haul. It's a haul, yeah. Yep. I can't remember exactly. I just know that we leave in the early morning and got there about 6 at night, something like that, depending on how much you stop. But they're here from a long ways away. And thank God. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this message. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast brought forth Thy word, that we know Thy word is true. Now I pray that it would not be forgotten, but that our lives would be changed by it. Let all that hear it from afar by means of the taped recordings and the CDs throughout the world and all over Europe, Southeast Asia, the islands, wherever it is, Australia, O Lord, let Thy word go forth and let it get a hold of hearts and bring them to repentance. Bring them to a saving knowledge of Thee, O Lord. And I ask all this now in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Let the evil one have no power over us to interfere in any way. and we thank thee for it in Jesus' name. To thy name be all glory, worship, and honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We'll ask Duane to get ready now for the baptism, and we're going to sing a chorus, Magnify the Lord. Just praise him. And then when Duane comes back up, just feel free to gather around the front. We're very informal around here. And we all rejoice together in this. Amen. Because the Lord tells us through his apostle, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. The apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's exciting. Amen. Shirley, why don't you come on up? Let's sing a chorus here. Amen. Let's sing that chorus. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I look past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I look past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Yes, the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Amen. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Hallelujah.